This is the Riches from the Pages radio broadcast with Evangelist Adam Borden, brought to you by Wahoo Baptist Church in Murrayville, Georgia. We invite you to join us for this time of mining the unsearchable riches of God's Word. And now, Evangelist Adam Borden.
Ezra chapter 7. Look right here in verse 7, 8, and 9. I'd like to say that some stayed in the comfort of their captivity. Some of them stayed and became beloved to their bonds. Some of them stayed and cherished their chains. I'd like to say tonight that there are some people who are very comfortable in their sin. Yeah, sure. It's not that they're doing nothing, but they've got sin in their life that they love very much, that they're not interested in giving up and walking away from. They're very comfortable in captivity. They're not interested. If they've got an open door and freedom and funding to go and do something for the Lord, no thanks. I'm good with my habits. I'm good with my filthy language. I'm good with my wicked music, my old country music, my old rock music, my old rap music, my old anything else besides gospel music. I'm good with my filthy TV shows that I got to watch on a certain night. Help us now. I'm good with my nasty movies. I'm good with what I got on my cell phone. I think I got hung up right there for just a little bit. Hey, but listen, they wasn't all of them that was comfortable in captivity. Some of them went up to Jerusalem. Look at verse number 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Not only was he raised up and he was trained up, he went up, but I want you to know he was prayed up. He was prayed up. Notice those words, he prepared his heart. He prepared his heart. That is speaking specifically, we know, as prayer and dedication to the task. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There is nothing that you will accomplish for the Lord that you'll accomplish without the dedicated prayer unto the Savior. There's nothing that you can do for God that you'll do as well as you possibly could or accurately or effectively without prayer. Right. I've been digesting that book, that Ravenhill book, Why Revival Tarries. Oh my, what a convicting book. What a challenging book. And he emphasizes prayer as the preparation for our daily service. He was prayed up. He prepared his heart to seek. Now, Matthew 5 tells us, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Let me tell you something. You're not going to find anything that you're not looking for. You won't find any biblical truth for your life if you don't look in the Bible. You've got to seek after what God has to say for you in the Bible. He said he wanted to do the teaching. He wanted to do the work of God. We see over James chapter 1 verse 25, this is a good verse, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Ezra had set his mind through the preparation of his heart. How did he prepare his heart? He prayed just like you and I pray. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Oh, God, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Fill me with your spirit and let me know what you'd have me to know. And he said he was going to teach. He was going to teach. If you've ever taught a Sunday school class from cubbies to college age or anything else like that, you know this one truth. Nobody learns more than the teacher. Isn't that right, school teachers? Nobody learns more than the teacher, Sunday school teachers, because nobody prepares like the teacher does. I enjoy the teaching that we have. I enjoy the preaching that we have. Top shelf, none better anywhere. But I tell you, the greatest teacher I've ever sat under is the teacher that Jesus told us about in John chapter 14, verse 26. When he said these words, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Ghost is our teacher. Oh, for us to be prayed up and prepared up, we have to seek God for what he would say to us in his word. Very quickly, we'll read from verse 11 down through verse 14. Look down in your Bible. Now, this is a copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra, the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord, and of his statutes of to Israel. Artaxerxes, little k kings of little k kings. Can I get an amen? Amen. Unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time. I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are mindful of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand. Notice the words of verse number 14. Thou art sent of the king. Ezra was sent up on an assignment by the king. Now, it wasn't King Artaxerxes who was doing the sending. I'm here to tell you. It was the capital K king of capital K kings. God of heaven had a plan for Ezra. And Artaxerxes was just holding the pen that wrote the letter. He was sent up of the king. There was a directive that he was given. There was a direction that he was given in instructions. There was a destination that he was going. Let me just tell you something. Tony Hudson used to say this constantly, and it rings in my ears. He used to say this, you'll never hit anything that you're not aiming at. He had a destination. Ezra was not told by King Artaxerxes, just go and find something to do, and when you find it, just do it there, wherever you find to do it, and then you do whatever it is you think you ought to think you need to do, and figure out some way to do it. There was a destination, and you have a destination. You have a destination. It doesn't matter what your age is, what your gender is, what your social state is, what your financial state is. God has a destination with you in mind to do a work that he has for you to do. He was sent up by the king. Notice this in verse 15, 16. I like this. And to carry, look here. And to carry the silver and gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. He thought God lived in Jerusalem. That's where old Artaxerxes thought he lived. You notice back up in verse 14, he said, thy God. Right. I like this because it proves to us that the will of God can be done through God's provision outside of our influence. Yeah. Artaxerxes still called him your God. That's right. Thy God. Yeah. I'm scared of him, but he's your God. But back in verse 15 and 16, he just went ahead and ponied up. Look here. He filled him up with silver and gold. In verse number 16, and all the silver and gold that thou canst find, all the silver and gold you can find, all of it, all the silver and gold that you can find in the province of Babylon, and the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem. He filled them up financially. I like that. Somebody that's in a church with a building program ought to say amen right there. Look at verse number 17. And thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks and rams and lambs and the meat offerings, their drink offerings. Offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. He gave instructions and he recognized that you've got to offer up a sacrifice of praise that is pleasing to your God. Never let us forget that whatever we're doing for the Lord, we oft need to stop and offer sacrifice of praise and thank him for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. We need to offer up praises just like Ezra, moving quickly. Notice the provision of the king. Ezra didn't have to go out of his own pocket to buy the bulls and the rams and the offering animals. God provided them from an outside source. I'm liking this better and better all the time. Look at verse number 18. Notice this. This is going to kink some preacher friends I know. Whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God. Here's what he said. I'm not just sending you up. I'm not just filling you up. I'm not just giving you something to offer up praise, but I'm telling you to use it up. Use it up. I have a problem, Brother Scotty. I have a problem with any church that's got $2 million sitting in the bank. I can take you to a church in Gibsonton, Florida right now that when we left several years ago had $2 million sitting in the bank. And just as happy as clams. But he said, look, don't worry so much about saving up. Use it up. Notice this. Starting verse number 20. Whatsoever more shall be needful. Oh, I like this one. Oh, I like this one right here. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. He said, look, we're going to load your wagons down with silver and gold. We're going to give you all the animal sacrifices. We're going to give you letters of safe passage. We're going to give you a big freewill offering. And if you spend that up, hey, just come get another withdrawal out of the king's treasure house. You can't outspend God. You can't outgive God. You ain't got as much as he got because the old liver-lung preachers, Zechariah and Haggai, said this. God said, all the gold is mine and the silver is mine. I want you to know that everything that you've got because God let you have it. And the reason that he let you have it is to give it back to him for his work. That's the reason you've got anything. So you can give as unto the Lord. Use it up. I like this. Look at verse number 22. 100 talents of silver, 100 measures of wheat, 100 baths of wine, and 100 baths of oil, and salt. Notice these words right here. And salt, without prescribing how much. You know how much that is? Unlimited. Unlimited. Unlimited supply. Whatever you need. I like this one. Tax accountants don't like this one. Well, those that deal with churches do. Look at verse number 23 and 24. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be? Now, here's his motivation. Notice Artaxerxes' motivation. He said, thy God and your God. Here's his motivation. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? He had the wrong kind of fear of God. He just didn't want God to wipe him out. He didn't want God to make him eat grass like he did Nebuchadnezzar those years and wander around like a cow. He said, I remember what God, your God, did to old Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not interested in eating grass off the ground. He's just pacifying. See, that's what a pagan idol worshiper does. They pacify their God, their little g God. They offer up something to keep their little g God happy. They offer up something to keep the thunderbolts from coming out of the sky for their little g God. And you know what people do today? They give their little g gods whatever they want so they can be happy. Chew on that a little while. Now look right here, verse 24. We're moving quickly. And we certify you that touching any of the priests and Levites, singers, porters, Nethinims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. You know what he said? He said, it's going to be tax-free. All of that, all you can have, free reign of the treasure house of the king, tax-free. I like that. The work of God. We're in danger, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just stop right here and have a little parenthetical United States of America citizen talk for just a second. The church is in trouble. If things rock on the way they are, unhindered and unfettered, and I'm not saying we don't deserve it as a country because we've spit in God's face and stomped on his blood and kicked his dear son and made fun of the Holy Ghost and we've denied all godliness and we've embraced worldliness and we've sucked up on the gods of pleasure and entertainment. And the price we're going to pay for not telling enough people and preaching it like we ought to and quit monkeying with the word of God and let people live any old kind of way. Some of that hedge might just come down.
Our prayer is that the word of God has done a work in you today. For more information on the ministry of Evangelist Adam Borden, go to evangelistadamborden.com, spelled B-O-R-D-E-N. And click on the contact page, or you can call 615-785-5682. Join us next time as we find riches from the pages of God's Word with Evangelist Adam Borden.